Yes, praise God. Good to be together. We have a couple here from North Carolina, right, Thomas and Tanya? Now, wait a minute. Let's see. Did both of you move up here or just Thomas? Both of you moved up from North Carolina. Isn't that amazing? And did you move up to be with us? How did that happen, huh? It's amazing. And you want to go to Bible college, like the Bible college that's like we have now this semester, and then the next semester starts beginning of February. And they moved up to go to Bible college from North Carolina. It's amazing. Wow. Yeah, that builds us up. That does. I just want to thank like a couple different people for what has happened in the last months just here on our property, just how much love, how much faith Ryan with the cafe and the work that he does. Pastor Bill Alderson in the finance department handling everything. The good news is he does such a great job. The bad news is we don't have a lot of money. Wait, what is it? What is it, Pastor Bill? What would you say? We need money, right? We could use a little more, yeah. We're behind like $10,000 every week for some weeks, or, you know, we're behind. How many weeks? 3 weeks behind, $10,000 a week. It doesn't take long before you get into big numbers. So, thanks for your giving online and also here. Let's see. I want to give a shout out to Jason Moore, Pastor Jason Moore. There he is, right there. Really. I mean, has anybody gotten a phone call from him? Raise your hand. Three people. No, I mean his department, making calls, visiting people, helping people. I mean, even to go like from a apartment to a assisted living facility, or you know, somebody has a problem with this, and you know, Pastor Jason is just, you know, multitasking in helping people and serving the body. You're not alone, Pastor, right? Are you alone? What? God is with you. Yes, he is. And you have a team. You got Sirpa, Carrie, Pastor Tom, Sleva, Pastor Love has a whole team. And they're just constantly caring. This morning we have a nursery is open. That's great. Krista, thank you. We have Sunday school happening. That's amazing. Preteens, the young people need a word and encouragement. I mean, this is awesome. This is great. And I just want to praise God for that. Yeah. Okay. So, do you have a good attitude today? Do you have a good attitude over here on the left? How's your attitude? Do the people on the left love the people in the middle? Express that love right now. All right, how about on the right over here? Good attitude? Praise the Lord. Yeah. How about in the middle? Whoa. Yeah. Oh. Wow. We, in our staff, we started like finding, I asked Ula to get Far Side jokes. You know those comics? They're Far Side. And so we're sending them around. We're sitting in our offices laughing, like reading these. And I need it. A merry heart does good like medicine. Wow. Is it a merry heart? Yeah, joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And again, I say rejoice. Yeah. Oh, I love it. It's good. These are good times. How many like the little deck out there? Have you noticed it on the way out there? There's deck lights, sails, you know, chairs. It looks like a yard sale out there. It's fantastic to sit out there and have a staff meeting and high school students because our school is open. And Otto Shishmani and Pastor Barry and Pastor Colban, they've done just a great, great job. The teachers, the young people, it's great. Wow. We're just thankful. So this morning we've got Pastor Matt Garrett who's going to give an introduction, a message to us. Then we'll have a special song, and then I'll say some things. I'll give a message, and then we'll have the pastors come down front. And if you want to have prayer or counsel, then you can come down front, and we'll be closing, and it'll be great. One lady said, she said, that was a great service. I said, what did you like best? She said, it ended. I said, are you coming back? Yes. Yes, I am. Well, you hear amazing things at the door. You know, one new couple came and I said, how did you come here? She said, was it a man or a woman? Try to remember that. I've told the story before, and I think it changes every time I tell it. They said, somebody at work told me, if you really want to go to a good church, you really want to hear a message, you know, then go down there to Greater Grace. I'm not going, but that's where, if you want to go, you know, but I'm not going there. But if you want to hear a real message from God, go there to Greater Grace. But I'm not going there. Okay, so that was funny. Okay, so are we ready to go now? Welcome, Pastor Matt.
I always forget that this one moves. The other one was set in place. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Today's a great day to hear the word of God. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 14. I'll give a short introductory message, and we'll talk about a story in the Old Testament that I hope will bless you guys and give you something to think about later on. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask that you teach us this morning, Lord, that you give us wisdom from above, that you help us to hear your words, your thoughts, and that we would be attentive to your doctrine, God, that we would be welcoming it in our hearts and in our minds, that we would be working on it later on, that we would be thinking about it and thinking with you whenever things get busy or strange or hard, and your word would come back to us, God. Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Proverbs 14. I'm going to read you verses 1 through 3. But first, in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days that we could apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we could apply our hearts unto wisdom. And in Proverbs 14, I'm going to read you three verses. We'll start in verse 1. It says, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. He that walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he that is a he that is perverse in his ways despises him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. And there's this amazing story in 1 Samuel that I want to use both that verse in Psalms and those verses in Proverbs to bring something out. And like I said, it's my prayer that it blesses you. I loved the reaction of the middle of the room. You guys were like fire this morning. You guys are kind of awake. You're like kind of here. You're like, why did I come? What am I doing? The right was like, oh, we can do better than that. And they did better. And then the middle, you guys went crazy. I'm just going to look at you guys because that's like, see, look, there's the reaction. There we go. 1 Samuel 25 talks about a story where David sends his men. Oh, sorry, Pastor Chabelle. You're always riled up. I know. Okay. Where David sends his men to this man named Nabal and his wife Abigail. And there's a series of events that takes place when David does this. And let's start with who Nabal is. In 1 Samuel 25, verses 2 and 3, it talks about Nabal. And it says something really interesting. A fun side note is in his name in the Hebrew, Nabal actually means fool. He is a fool. So you should know where I'm going with him whenever we start to read this story. In verse 2, it says, there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of this man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. She was a wise woman who builds her house, Proverbs 14:1. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. He's in Proverbs 14:3. He's the man who's has a rod of pride, who is a little obstinate. His name, that word churlish there, that means obstinate, that means rude, that means stubborn, set in his ways. And David comes to him and he says, well, David sends his servants to him and they say, hey, we hear you're shearing your sheep. We realize you're a great man. You have many things. Can you give us some of what you have? Because we watched over your sheep. We watched over your shepherds. We took care of them. We made sure no harm came to them. And Nabal, in his stubbornness, in his obstinance, he says it later on in 1 Samuel 25, he says in verse 10, Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not where they come from? And you see his stubbornness, you see his pride, you see his trust in the things that he has done. You see his trust in his possessions. You see his trust in his power, per se. Right, but not in the authority that was coming to him in David, in the anointing of God, in his servants. And then later on, this story gets to Abigail, his wife. And we said Abigail, she's the wise woman who builds her house, Proverbs 14:1. She doesn't pluck it down with her hands. She takes what these messengers came and asked of Nabal, and she goes and carries it out behind Nabal's back. She goes because she's the wise woman thinking with God and goes and takes care of this matter because when David hears of Nabal's response, he says, I'm going to come and destroy his household. I'm going to take everything away from him, everything that he holds dear, and it's going to be mine. But when Abigail goes and she pleads to David and gives him all of these things as like a sacrifice to him and his men, she appeases David. And David is, Pastor Schaller put it this morning, David is corrected. David is corrected in his thinking, and he doesn't carry out his vengeance on Nabal. We know the Bible, it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He will carry it out. He will make things right. And so David hears Abigail, hears the truth, and is like appeased and takes a step back. I want to say this. I said something a little different at the 9 a.m., but I want to change it a little bit. You have like a typology here. You have Nabal, who can represent the world. You have Abigail, who can represent the church, and you have a message being brought to both Nabal and Abigail, and then you have a message being delivered by the church to David, right? So you have two things that happen here. You have God, okay, so see if you can See if I can get this out, if you can think with me on it. God sends his son to the earth and sends him as a sacrifice for us and sends him to die for us and pay for our sins. Not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. Every single person, every single sin, all paid for. Okay. And this is the authority of God sending his son to do this thing. And his son comes and he pays the ultimate price. He dies. He's in the grave. We sang about it on the third morning. Breath came into him and he rose from the grave and he later ascends into heaven. And this is like the authority God has sent to us, sent to the entire world, to Nabal, to all of us at one point. We were all in the world. We were all lost in a way. Ephesians chapter 2. We were all under the prince of the power of the air. And we have a decision to make at that moment. Are we going to react, respond to the good news of the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ, of his death, of his paying the price for us? Are we going to react in stubbornness? Are we going to react with, well, I've done all this in my life. Well, these are my sheep and these are my things. And why would I give anything I have to this person, to this, who is Jesus? Who is David? Who is this David, Nabal says. And we say in our hearts, who is Jesus? What has he really done for us? So much, so much. And you have Abigail, the church. You have the person who hears the message, right? The person who hears the message. She receives the message. She receives it from the authority of God. Oh, I know who David is. He's the anointed one from Samuel. He's the one who's to be king over all of Israel. And all of the things, even the things that my husband and I have, they will soon be his anyway, because he will be Lord over all. And the church responds in a different way to God's authority. Okay, but then here's another thing that happens. Then Abigail, having received the message, takes the message out and goes to David and turns the message around and keeps David at bay, because you have two responses in life. One, while you're in the world, while you're not a believer, am I going to believe the authority of God? Am I going to believe what Jesus Christ has done for me? And then once you've made that decision, whether it's stubbornness and you turned it away, or whether it's humility and you realize, like by Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it is by grace through faith that you have been saved. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and you receive it and you become part of the church like Abigail. Then you have a message to go out to people with, and you have something to say to them that quells the anger and the distrust and the bitterness in their souls, and you quiet it. And you change it completely, because you've been given something from God. 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you have not already received? And if you received it, how should you then glory in that thing? No, I was given this from God. It is a gift. God is faithful to have called me in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful to deliver me from any temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, to give me a way of escape, to not let me go into something that is beyond myself that I cannot handle. And I take these thoughts and I take these things and I go out and I give a message to someone else who needs to hear it. And you can change someone's life with wisdom. With a wise woman builds her house. She builds it up. We, the church, is the wise woman. We're the bride of Christ. We have wisdom given to us from God. Proverbs chapter 4, wisdom is the principal thing. Is that Proverbs 4? Is that Proverbs 23? Wisdom is the principal thing. It's with all the wisdom, get understanding. Like with everything you receive from God, take it in and apply it and send it out somewhere. Give it to someone else. Because what we have here, what we have in this building, with a pandemic going on, with uncertainty in the political spectrum, with all the craziness that the world wants us to focus on, we have another thing that we can pay attention to. We have the wisdom from God that we can take in to our hearts and give out to people who desperately need it, who don't even realize they need it until they hear it. Did you know that you were a sinner before you heard what sin was? In a way, yeah, like your heart kind of knows it, right? But once it's defined, then you grab a hold of it and you're like, oh, I am guilty. I do have regret. I do have pain. And the message comes in and it frees you from that. And you have that same message because you received from the authority, from the anointing of God, a message that you can take out to other people, that you can give them to free them, for the truth has set us free. John 8:32. The truth has set us free. The gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. That's what sets us free. The free gift that he's given us. It's a beautiful story, 1 Samuel 25. If you get a chance to read it, I encourage you to. And if you're thinking about anything later on today, like Psalm 90, verse 12, again, says, teach us to number our days that we could apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we could apply our hearts unto the God-given authority of the Bible and the message that he gives us, and that we could take that out to other people. Amen.
Okay, are we ready to hear another portion? Yes, praise the Lord. Great, hallelujah. I love listening to the word, isn't it precious? Well, Father, we thank you for this assembly. Yes, Lord, we pray for our mission and precious people in the world preaching and ministering. And they're like Abigail. They're like Abigail. And bless these thoughts to our minds. And we pray for our country. Turn us to Christ, please. Turn many people to Jesus Christ. Thank you. We need it, Lord. We are people without a hope, without an anchor, without direction. Our flesh only, and our unbelief and our fear in our own ways. But we need a higher way, a better way. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think we're going to move around a lot. I'm going to just say a few short and read the Bible, and maybe something is going to go off. You know, we're going to say a few things. So turn to Isaiah 35. I just said this in my prayer about this highway. 35 verse 8. There is a historical prophetic reference for this verse, but I don't mean it that way, though that will be happening. There will be a highway that will go up to Jerusalem. But in another way, by way of our analogy, typology, there is a highway today for us. But it's not a highway like 95 or Route 70. It's a spiritual highway. So verse 8, would you read it out loud with me? This is King James. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Whoa, the way of holiness. There's a way of defilement, way of death, way of lying, way of perversity, but this is a highway of holiness. Read it with me. The unclean shall not pass over it. Hey, you can't go there. Hey, you can't go there. You can't go there. You can't go there. Why can't I go there? I want that highway. That's a highway of holiness. You are unclean. Unclean. Remember in the Old Testament, the leper would put his hand over his upper lip and cry out what? Unclean, unclean. He'd warn the people. Unclean, unclean. But this is different. You are clean. How did you get clean? Christ, he cleansed us. John 15, verse 3. How did you get clean? The holiness of God. Be holy, for I am holy. The blood of Jesus has washed our sins away. The blood. What's the song? How does it go? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, you can't go there. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. How can you? I am holy. I am clean. Look at the verse, please. Verse 8 goes, the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. What kind of a man? The wayfaring man. What kind of man is that? He's the traveling man. He's the pilgrim. He's the man of faith. He's a man on a mission. He's a man that is going somewhere. He's a man moving. He is a man that believes, a man that's following. Jesus said, follow me. You become a wayfaring man, a follower. You are clean. You are a follower. And then the next part. Though fools. Let's just kind of like just stand there like, well, I'll try to act it out. Though what? Though fools. I am a fool. I am. I know that. But I'm on the highway of holiness. And though I am a fool, actually, I am wise. Though I am a sinner, actually, I am clean. Where are you? I'm on the highway of holiness. Well, what's up there on that highway of holiness? Look at it. It says, though you are a fool, you will not err therein. Isn't that such a contradiction? Isn't that a blessing? Though, believe me, you wouldn't even believe what a fool I am. You'd have no idea. I don't know what is going on. But actually, you don't see that with me. Because I'm not erring. That somehow you're getting it right. Like somehow there's something right about your life. Like somehow that somehow you have love. Why do you have such authority? It's clear to you. Because I'm on the highway. Because I'm on the highway of holiness. I'm not saying this regarding myself alone. I'm saying this regarding us. Because Pastor Matt said David was going to come and make a mistake. He was going to kill Nabal. But Abigail, he is like the church that goes out to meet David and says, don't do this thing. You don't need to do it. God's going to take care of him. You don't need to do this. And David said, thank you for correcting me. I needed that correction. That's like us when we're on the highway of holiness. And I mean, I don't know. I hope you follow it with me and realize what I mean. That there is not much that we can boast in. Not much that we are saying. I'm saying more about the highway than I am about ourselves. We're saying God sent Abigail. Okay, go to the next. It says, verse 9, no lion shall be there. Well, we read in the scripture that the devil is like a roaring lion. But he's not there. He's not there. 1 Peter chapter 5. He's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. But can't he go up on that highway? No. not according to this. He's not there. It's like Jesus. Like Jesus in this world. And the devil could take him to the cross, but not without the Father's permission. That the devil could not touch him until there was a certain hour to fulfill his purpose. But otherwise, the devil in Luke chapter 4 could not touch him. They went to throw him off a cliff, but he walked through the midst of them, because the lion could not go there. When the devil took him out to the wilderness to tempt him for 40 days, that Jesus was above the devil. And he had authority because the highway of holiness. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. But we have found another way. We have found a way of life. We have found it, and it sharpens us like iron sharpens iron, and so the countenance of a man's friend sharpens his countenance. Iron sharpens iron like Abigail meets David, and she sharpens David. And David gets the mind of Christ from Abigail, and he's corrected. Proverbs 6:23, commandments are a way of life to the upright. We are corrected by the commandments, like the way you drive a car, you're always corrected, and you welcome the correction. My speedometer, my gas tank, my directions, my mirror, everything, it's all, I need a lot of help when I'm driving a car. I need to be alert, I need to know. In the same way, when we live in our life as a believer, we need to walk carefully, circumspectly, Ephesians chapter 5. I need Abigail to come out and talk to me. There are times when I need the counsel that comes from a woman like Abigail who knows how to build a house. It says that the wise woman builds a house, but the foolish pluck it down with their hands in Proverbs 14, verses 1 and verse 4. Okay, go to the next verse. It says in verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. What are these ravenous beasts all about? Well, in the Jewish law, there is the idea of a wild animal like a bear or a lion that could kill, and it would be like a sign of a curse to be killed by a wild animal. And that can happen back in the Middle East, and back in this time there were wild animals in the Middle East there at this time and in Israel. And here it says that these animals can't go on the highway of holiness. And there we could say the authority that Jesus had over the wind, over the sea, the authority he had over the demons, the authority he had was prophetically a sign of what was coming, what is coming to us in our hearts, how we think in our mind. Could I say, be very disciplined in your mind when discouragement or depression or fear wants to take over your mind. And if your mind is passive, you may give in to these projections or these ideas. But don't do that. But be very determined in your heart and mind regarding what you read, what you are thinking about, your prayer, your waiting on God, your fellowship, because iron sharpens iron. Imagine if Jesus was talking to you, how much he would sharpen us. Yeah, do you remember, he could say. Do you remember Lot's wife? Or beware of the leaven of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He would say, wake thou that sleepest, rise from the... What could you not wait? Could you not pray with me for 1 hour? He said in Gethsemane. Imagine, come aside and let us rest a while in the Gospel of Mark. How much Jesus, how awesome it would be. And it is so, because we have the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus Christ in the Spirit. He isn't the same person, but he is the same in the heart and the mind, the purpose in the relationship. Go to verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Where will they return? They will return to Zion. What is Zion? A real city. It's Jerusalem. It's another name for Jerusalem, or the specific area of David's city, which is in Jerusalem. And they will return there. Who will come? The ransomed of the Lord. They will be on this highway. It'll be actually a literal highway. There'll actually be a road that'll go to Jerusalem in the millennial reign. But we are those that go there now. We are on this highway now. We are on a spiritual highway. We are not, like Pastor Matt said, we are not like the world. We are different. Remember, he said, Matt said in his message, that Nabal, let's write that down. This is his name. And of course, it is a funny thing that you would name your child this, right? Nabal. You know, the baby is born. Parent looks at him and the parent says, look at the little fool. We'll name him. Look at the little, you know, coochie, coochie, coo, little fool. What a strange thing. That was his name, Fool. And he said, this is like the world. The world is like this man, because the man said, who is David? Right? In verse 10. Who is David? I do not know David. And where is he coming from? And many men have left their masters in these days. And what does that means nothing to me. I don't care about him. This is like how the world thinks of Jesus Christ. Who is he? I don't need him. Where is he coming from? That means nothing to me. I am not interested. No interest. But there in the family is his wife, Abigail, and she discerns him. She discerns. So she is a picture of the church, because the church is a female in our scripture, the bride of Christ. The church is the head of the church is Christ, and we are his body. There are many metaphors for it. We are the branch. He is the vine. We are the branches. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. He is the cornerstone. We are the stones. We are the temple of God. And Abigail discerns her husband. And she goes out to tell David. And that's what we need in our life. We need somebody to talk to me and tell me. I need the highway of holiness in my life. I want to walk up there. And it said, the ransomed of the Lord will return to Zion, but there'll be a certain spirit. It says here in verse 10, and shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. they shall obtain joy and gladness. That's what's needed in this world, joy and gladness. A sense of humor, lightness, joy coming from God. Why don't I have it? Maybe because I'm living in sin. If I live in sin, I grieve the Holy Spirit. I lose my joy. But God has a highway of holiness where there is joy. And so I confess my sin and he cleanses me of my sin and I have the joy of the Lord. For I am forgiven in Psalm 32. That's the source of our joy, is that we are forgiven. Really, if you think about it and you can walk around and say, I'm forgiven of every sin I've ever committed. That's an amazing thing. I am called by God's name. He is my Father. Jesus Christ is my Savior. The Spirit of God is in this world, that I would live a different way by faith in God. I believe God. You see, too many people live in reason, and they live in their feeling, and live in their personality, and their opinions, and their own ideas. Just look at social media and Facebook and other ways of communication, what people are saying, what they're thinking, and so on. It's so low. It's so low. It's so unclean. It's so reactionary. It's so emotional. It's so opinionated. It's like the world revolves around them. Abigail, see, David is coming to kill Nabal. That's like a guy going on social media and just, you know, unloading. Abigail comes out. I've said, David, don't do that. This is beneath your dignity. This is beneath you. David, these are my words. Get a grip. You are anointed king. You are the king, the future king of Israel. You are special. David, don't do this thing. David, thanks, sir, goes back home. 10 days later, he's dead. Nabal is dead. He went into a coma. He kind of left. His heart was dead as a stone for 10 days, and then he died. It was over. I think that happened to Al Capone. He was in his 40s, a mafia boss in Chicago, I believe. You know, powerful guy, young guy, was talented, undoubtedly, everything. But then he had a coma. He went into a coma and died from a stroke. By the swimming pool, I think, or something. I know you guys study those things out. But you know what? This world is on a road. It's in trouble. But Abigail knows something. She's building a house. Like Abigail is a picture of the church, the house that God built. Abigail is a picture of somebody with a message to David. And David is a picture of a believer who needs her help. Like, I need help in my life. I need iron to sharpen iron. I need a prophet. I need a message. I need a pastor. I need an open Bible. I need instruction. I would never live the way I'm living now. I am a fool. Look at me. I am a fool. I am. But I'm on a highway. And though I am a fool, I will not err therein. It doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. It just means that I fall down. I get up and I keep going on the highway. And I fall down 7 times, Proverbs 16:24 or 24:16. I fall down 7 times and I just keep, God's the highway is too good. I want to be in the highway of holiness. I want to be in a fellowship where truth is truth. I want to be in a place where there is humility. I want to be in a place where we live by faith and we don't understand everything. But God is here and God is with us and there is everlasting joy upon our heads. And doesn't it say in Isaiah 55 that even the trees clap their hands? That means that, like, even the world of nature that we look at takes on a greater dimension of glorifying God. Even the ocean is speaking. There was that Eugene Peterson pastor, amazing man of God and faith. He said his wife and he on Monday would go for a four-hour walk in the woods. And they wouldn't talk until lunchtime. And he said, the world is so sensual. What he meant was, the trees are talking, the water is speaking, the smell, the flowers, the birds are talking. It's so sensual. That's what he said. It's so filled of perceptions. The trees are clapping their hands. The fish are talking, or however you want to say it. You understand what I mean. A spirit-filled, godly woman or man of God has another way of living. And the world, Nabal, he may be very rich, but he's very foolish. He might have a lot going on, but he's very empty. And soon his heart will be like a stone, and his life will be over. We are sent into this world for this time. We haven't even had any difficulty. We haven't even had any problems. We haven't even had any problems this year. We haven't even had anybody had a really, I mean, yes, okay, I understand, but please bear with me in what I'm trying to say. When the Spanish flu came, 50 million people died around the world. 50 million people. This is totally a different thing. This is not a problem. We have our freedom. We have our Bibles. We have our faith. Most importantly, we have our joy in our love. We have our vision and our mission. We have our people. We have our elderly people that are precious to us. We have our children and grandchildren. We have our school. We have our parking lot. We have our country. We're going through challenges and there are difficulties, but we have a, what, highway of holiness. And the devil is roaming around. I want to get up on that highway and devour the saints of God. And God is saying, down, down, you dog, you. Down, back off. Can't go there. There's something here that's from God. Why? Because people need the joy. They need the message. They need love. They need encouragement. They need a family. They need somebody's face to speak to them. They need a heart. They need some care and kindness. People need people. Have you noticed that? I need the joy of my friends. I need a word in season. I need an Abigail to come out and say, don't do this. How does it, our offerings have dropped off some. Let's sharpen that edge. Let's give us unto God. Let's trust God with my money. Let's sharpen that edge. Some of us kind of fall into some kind of a mood of some kind. I need the joy. A good belly laugh is what I need. I need the joy. I need the love and the body of Christ. I need the Abigail to come. So let's do one last verse, Hebrews chapter 2, and it's simple word here. No, Galatians 6, I want to use that Greek word, and quote from this, I believe it is a Kenneth Wiest comment on it, yes, it goes like this. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, the word fault means like a mistake, like something I didn't necessarily intend to do, but it happened. I kind of fell into it. It was a lack of wisdom, a miscalculation. I was overtaken. I was in the wrong place, wrong time with the wrong people. I'm sorry what I did. I was overtaken in a fault. It says, you which are spiritual. By the way, I think that's happening in the body of Christ, that people are being overtaken by a fault. They kind of stumble into trouble. They kind of realize, wow, this isn't where I want to be. I wake up with that, I wake up and realize, how did this happen? So how are they restored? It's verse 1. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. The word restore is this is where we'll finish our message. It says, it's from a Greek word which means to reconcile factions, pieces, to set broken bones, restore, to set a dislocation, like a dislocated shoulder, to restore it or to set it. Like when somebody is overtaken in a fault, they need to be restored. And sometimes when a doctor has to reset a dislocated bone, he has to be careful, gentle, firm. He has to realize it should be done as soon as possible because it will get worse. And so when a brother or sister has fallen or overtaken into something they didn't anticipate, it happened to them, but they need to be restored. Maybe we could say Abigail went out to David and actually kind of set him straight because he was going to go take off Nabal's head. But he was corrected. So it says this about that word. It says, to mend nets, to equip or prepare. What the particular meaning is in this instance will be determined by the context. Paul is speaking of a child of God, a born-again, blood-cleansed believer in the Lord. As a believer, that person is a member of the body of Christ, the figure being that of a human body and a human head, the saints of the age of grace as members of the body, and those composing it in our Lord as the head of the body. This saint with sin in his life is not in correct relationship to the head and the rest of the body, just as an arm out of joint is not in correct relationship to the body and the head, but the saint still is a member of the body, as a dislocated arm is a member of the human body. Again, the life of the head still abides in the saint, as the life in the human head still flows through the arm. Once more, as a dislocated arm is useless to the body and head and will obey neither, so a saint out of fellowship with his Lord is useless to the body and the head. You that are spiritual, restore such a one. So we're not police running around correcting each other, but we are spiritual people who are caring. Words of encouragement, letting people have their privacy. We are people of faith. We have words of wisdom, and we are able to give counsel. Our church services are like this. They're for this reason, because there's a great tendency for us to be negligent and forget and to leave and disappear. But forsake not the assembly as you see the day approaching. We are needed. We are on the highway of holiness. We have a very important message for the people around us. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Just pastors, feel free to come down front. At the end, Pastor Steve will do the benediction. But this is a prayer for the unbeliever, anyone listening. Would you please come to Jesus today? You might say, I don't understand it all. That's okay. God will teach you. Come as you are. Yeah, but I'm not holy enough. I'm not ready. I got to get my house in order. Forget it. You'll never get your house in order. I mean, forget it. It might not ever happen. You just wait and put it off. Come to Jesus by faith. Like a drowning man in the sea. You can't save yourself. You must be saved by another. And then today is the day of salvation. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. But come as you are today. But you might say, yeah, but I've got issues. Yes, we all have, but come by faith. It says that the unbeliever will not enter into this holy city in Revelation 21. The fearful will not enter into that city. The unbeliever and the fearful and the murderer and the whoremonger and the liar will not enter the city. There is no way. But if you come to Jesus now, today, he saves you. He forgives you. He restores. He saves you. You are born again, child of God. And you enter that city. Say to Jesus, I believe in you. By faith, just say it by faith. Say to Jesus, I believe in you. I need you. Anyone here in the auditorium saying the prayer, just raise your hand. Anyone at all? Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Anybody? Yes to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for the saints in this room. Thank you for the faithfulness. Thank you for the grace. Teach us grace. Lead us by faith, Lord, in Jesus' name. And bless all our laborers in the world, in Africa, in India, in all parts, many countries, ministering and preaching with power and authority. And many salvations would come today. Many people to come to Christ today, Lord, in this week, around the world. In Jesus' name. Amen.